Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God, who is with us, we come back to a familiar story tonight. Open it up to us in new and fresh ways for where we are now in our lives, individually and together. And take us deeper into what that precious name means to us. We pray in that name now. Jesus. Amen. Tonight, as the offering plates were brought forward, we sang what we've been singing for several Sundays now: Emmanuel, Emmanuel. His name is called Emmanuel. God with us, God revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. In one sense, this Christmas Eve service is the culmination of all that we've been doing over the past several weeks here together in our church's life, all the singing and praying and preaching, all the practicing and rehearsing and presenting, all of the other things that have been part of our life together, all the decorating, all the eating, all the giving, all these things have been brought together in a way tonight where it all comes down to a name and what that name means in the life of God's people and what that name means to the life of the world. Emmanuel. Now, you may see the name spelled in slightly different ways. The spelling Emmanuel with an I is the customary way of transliterating the Hebrew word in the Old Testament. Emmanuel with an E is the customary way of translating the Greek word that's in the New Testament. Sometimes you'll see it spelled with only one M as well. But in the bottom line, really, whether you use E or I, or whether you use seven letters or eight, it all comes down really to the fact that this is how followers of Jesus spell Christmas: Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Now, there's a lot packed into that name, but then again, at this time of the year, aren't we experts in packing a lot into a little? Especially a little bit of time, particularly if you're the type of person who waits until Christmas is almost here to start making your preparations. Some of you may be in that kind of situation each year. Maybe you spent the past few days trying to do what some people were doing in the past few weeks. I don't know whether you're a procrastinator or a planner, but I do know that whichever one of those you are, by the time you arrive at Christmas Eve, the toll on you is pretty much the same. You're exhausted. One of the things I often recognize is that I look out from this pulpit on Christmas Eve night, and I see those fatigued faces after the past several weeks. I see what happens when we try to pack a lot into a little. Pack a lot into a little. Sometimes I think we treat the meaning of Christmas in the same way. We try to squeeze a hefty portion of meaning into a single word or maybe a small set of words. And what we get from that are slogans, those sort of memorable, repeatable, portable nuggets of truth and wisdom that we often use this time of the year. Some slogans are more religiously focused. Jesus is the reason for the season. Or keep Christ in Christmas. Other slogans are designed to be more broadly appealing. If you don't believe, you won't receive. Or Christmas in the heart puts Christmas in the air. And then there are other slogans that really just aim to sort of spread humor. Dear Santa, define good. Or don't get your tinsel in a tangle. I think that part of our purpose here tonight is to try to take those things that are so deeply significant to us, enduring things we believe about Christ's birth, and disentangle them in a way from all the cultural tinsel that's around this time of the year. Often has a lot of shine to it, but not always necessarily a lot of staying power to it, because the fact is that seasonal slogans come and go. But the name of the one who has come to us and who has promised to come again never really changes. It abides. Remember that we're people who also sing, in addition to that song I mentioned earlier, we also sing, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appear. So as we remember his first appearing and wait actively and expectantly for his second appearing, we have another opportunity here tonight to step back and unpack some more of the actual significance of that name to us, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. Now let's go back to our scripture passage where we see Matthew drawing upon a promise that Isaiah had made centuries before. This was a declaration of hope that Isaiah had issued in the midst of conflict. Syria and Israel had attacked Judah. Jerusalem and the royal family were under siege. But Isaiah saw something different beyond that. He saw a new era to come, the reign of God's righteousness. And Matthew sees that new era as a present reality through the coming of Jesus. His birth is the sign of God's presence, God with us. It's important to keep in mind that in a Jewish context, naming was no casual or light kind of manner. How you gave a name. A name was more than just a way of labeling someone. It was more than just a way of being able to tell the difference between that person and another person. A name was intended to convey something about who that person is. You didn't just use a name to identify someone. You used a name to define someone. The name somehow conveyed the essence of who that person is and what they're all about. So, to speak of Jesus as Emmanuel is to say that God is with us and that Jesus is God's way of being with us, which means that God's way of being with us is very personal and deeply relational. God is not with us primarily through a body of knowledge or a set of data that we can download into our lives, though knowledge and data are valuable and important. God isn't with us primarily through a written text or a body of tradition, though our scriptures and the things that we believe about God are critical and important as well. God's not with us primarily through an inner experience that somehow gives us special insight into complex divine mysteries. Rather, we're told in our scripture tonight that God is with us primarily in and through a person, Jesus. So if we want to know who God is and what God is doing in our lives and in the world, we have to know Jesus. That's one of the reasons why Matthew feels it's so important here at the beginning of his gospel to tell us about the birth of Jesus and what his name means and who he is and why he's come. His name itself means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. Several years ago, there was a Christian magazine that asked pastors and theologians and other people a question. They said, "What's the gospel in seven words?" What's the gospel in seven words? And one person wrote this: God refuses to be God without us. God refuses to be God without us. And since he and the other respondents were invited to expand on their answer in a few sentences, he went on to say, "We asked God to say something definite, and God, getting personal, sent Jesus Christ." That was God's way of speaking. So God is more than just a collection of high-sounding theological ideas and abstractions. He's rather a God whose will and purpose are embodied in the suffering and self-giving and sacrificial life and death of Jesus Christ, who reveals God's love for us and saves us from our sins. God gets personal and relational with us. Now, God with us. If we follow Matthew's story here, on from Jesus' birth into his life, and then his suffering and death, his resurrection and the promise of his return, part of what we see is that this definition of us, it becomes more expansive and not just really restrictive. Us was originally primarily a way of referring to God's people, Israel, but Jesus develops that and shows us that Israel's purpose was to be a light to the world. So in Jesus' preaching, in his teaching, in his ministry, he's constantly taking the good news of God's kingdom and taking it beyond traditional boundaries in order to reach out and bring in others, especially those who are on the margins of society, to bring them into the life of the kingdom and the life of God's people, which means that God with us, that familiar phrase, God with us, it drives toward inclusion rather than exclusion when we look at it that way. And if you want to see what God with us means, just recall all those stops we've made in our missions moments over the past several Sundays in Japan and Mexico and East Asia, and there tonight along the border between Venezuela and Colombia, where people have been spilling across, sometimes 5,000 people in a day, more than 3 million people total who've left their homes trying to escape hunger or conflict or lack of medical care or lack of education, these kinds of things, or crime. This is a situation like you saw where Christian missionaries, along with believers there in Colombia, have an opportunity to vividly display what God with us means as they reach out to touch and share and love and bear witness in ways that bring others into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and into the life of God's people. God with us there on the ground in this world where God comes and works to save. That's a picture in itself of what God with us means and what the name Emmanuel is all about. So by your praying and by your giving, you also help others know what Emmanuel means. What are they really all about when Christians proclaim God with us? God with us. I think that's a crucial thing for us to be doing, especially really in a day and time when we're quick to draw lines between those who are on our side as we perceive it and those who, by virtue of that, must somehow be our enemies. In that kind of atmosphere, I think it's easy for the truth that God is with us to get twisted and distorted and misused to communicate somehow that, well, if God is with us, he must not be with you. Or maybe even more so, if God is with us, then God must be against you. Sometimes it can get twisted like that. During World War II, when Hitler's armies invaded Russia, they wore belt buckles with words inscribed in German, God with us. God with us. In that case, rather than being good news of God's goodwill toward the world, Emmanuel, that name got co-opted and became a battle cry, a call to defeat enemies. But I think that really when we look at our scripture passage here again tonight, what we see is that this good news that God is with us is not really a declaration of war. It's an announcement of peace and reconciliation. Think of what Paul says there in 2 Corinthians, where he reminds us God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them and trespasses against them. So God, out of his mercy and love for us, in the face of our own estrangement from God, our alienation toward God, our hostility toward God, comes to us in mercy through Jesus Christ. And most of all, in the death of Jesus Christ, works to forgive us and reconcile us to himself and to one another and to restore us, to make us new. As Matthew stresses, Jesus is God's way of saving us from our sins, which means that if there's going to be God with us and us with God, that's what it takes. Christ in his gift of himself for us, so that we can be reconciled to God and have peace with God and with each other. And when you hear that good news of reconciliation through Jesus Christ and receive and experience that good news through faith in Jesus Christ, you become part of a community that Jesus has gathered called the church. And a big part of the church's assignment is to be a living embodiment of that reconciliation, to embody the name Emmanuel. In other words, for the church, for believers to be an unambiguous sign to the world that God is with us in mercy and reconciliation and love, and that God is at work. For the church to be a living display of reconciliation at work. So every church, every single church, is an Emmanuel church. There are some churches that even have that name as part of their name in one way or another. And there's one congregation really that stands out for the way that it has lived up to its name. Think back with me to 2015 when members of Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina had gathered for midweek prayer and worship. When a 21-year-old white supremacist named Dylan Roof attended and then started shooting, it turned out to be the nation's deadliest racially motivated mass shooting in a place of worship. 9 Christians were killed in that situation, in that attack. Earlier this year, 4 years to the day that that massacre occurred, a documentary film opened that tells the stories of the victims. They use interviews with survivors, interviews with the families of the victims to examine not only the societal effects of racism, but also to look even deeper as well, to see how those victims' loved ones, as you may remember, extended forgiveness to the killer in incredible acts of reconciliation and love and mercy. According to director Brian Ivey, he says, the film isn't just about racism, it's about grace. He says, it's a story of a group of people who decided they were going to bear the full weight of the wrong and still wish good upon the wrongdoer. That is the highest form of love possible, a love that Jesus Christ perfected. The name of the film? Emmanuel. Emmanuel. So tonight, we're once again singing Emmanuel, Emmanuel. His name is called Emmanuel. God with us, revealed in us to the world as God with us. God in us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. May each one of us who professes the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and our congregation as a whole live up to that name that we profess, so that the world may know even more fully that God really is with us. Let's pray. God of reconciling love, who is truly with us, thank you for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ, so we could be forgiven and made new in him. Help us to be renewed in our reconciliation with you and with others on this night, and live in your world and before others as an embodiment of how you are with us and present and working. We just pray this now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.